If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, I'm obviously here. Chris is here.
Hello.
Mom's here.
Hi.
How's everyone feeling? How's everyone doing?
We're good.
You know, right? It's been a minute. I'm having a child.
You are having a child.
We haven't had, you guys on, but really quick, okay?
A son.
First thing, yes, first things first, we're going to get into all that.
Okay.
Because, you know, the community was obviously
a buzz.
Very, very abuzz.
A buzz.
And you know, just want to hear what you have to say about it. But I'd like to start with other reasons to celebrate. We have a essentially a best-selling author amongst us.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of that.
Is that what it is?
It is. I put out the pre-sale. The book is coming out September 2024 through Chronicle Books. And many thanks to my agents over at Stone Song NYC for, you know, doing what they did. So the book comes out in September 24. All right. The pre-sale was announced yesterday. And within the 12 hours of announcing the pre-sale of the book, it became number one on Amazon in its category. And as my agent tells me, there were some pretty big heavy hitters on that list, and I passed them all.
Look at that.
So big thanks to anybody that ordered. And if you didn't, how about it? Go pre-order Food and Other Things I Love. You could get it on Amazon, or you could go on my Instagram. It's on my it's in my links on my Instagram, and I'm super proud of it. I'm very, very hard on myself, as you well know, in anything I do, and I am insanely proud of this book. It's wonderful.
I love the cover, first of all, and checking that out. That was fun. Yeah, but overall, I mean, obviously, we talked about it on the show before. When it was actually just kind of a project and coming out, but it was just all very exciting.
I'm very excited, and I'm very grateful to those of you that had ordered and still care. So thank you to you all.
I learned today.
Go ahead, Chris.
That the Catholic Church can just take someone else's song and do whatever they want with it.
But I'm going to tell you, they did a beautiful job.
I'm not sure I follow.
We were at a – I don't want to put anyone on the spot like this. We were at a service of some kind this morning. And our uncle is a Monsignor, right? Or is he a cardinal now? Isn't he something?
No, he's a Monsignor.
Didn't he get promoted recently?
He's a Monsignor.
Well, he's a Monsignor, so we're good. But we have an uncle who's in the clergy, and he was doing his thing up there.
And you know what? Kudos to him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he was doing great. He did great. And but at one point, the song from Les Miserables came on my own. Like, that was on my own. So I love that song. So I was very excited to hear it when I heard it. I looked back at Lauren because Lauren, for those of you that don't know, Lauren sings that song and very few others, but that song beautifully.
Beautifully.
This is the second time in a row, I believe, that Les Mis has come up.
My favorite Lauren thing is when Lauren sings that song. Yeah. So I immediately shot back the door behind
Could
me.
Could make you
Lauren.
Cry. That's how beautiful
yeah,
she sings
Yeah, I love
sings
when Lauren
it.
Sings that song. It makes me happy. It's but peak Lauren is when Lauren singing On My Own. So I looked back at her right away, and she was like, oh my God, like, well, they're playing the song. And I know her. She can't not sing if that song comes on. So I was wondering if she was going to be singing at the service. Uh-huh. And they changed the words. They did a full Will Smith. Because Will Smith does that.
Like was that a chorus?
They took the
beat. They took the
music from On My Own, and they put Jesus words in there.
But it was.
Are they singing Jesus words, or they re-recorded the song?
No.
It was live. You were there.
You were there.
Oh, no, you weren't there. I'm sorry.
Oh, you weren't there. They On My Own, but.
I was wondering why he didn't care about this.
Right.
Yeah. No, I thought that I didn't care about it.
It was amazing.
You know. I thought you would have an opinion if you were there, though. Right. It was very obvious.
Albie was driving up from the shore, so he missed – it was a funeral. He missed the service. We met us at the
– I've had no power the last 24 hours.
Right.
Trees
so now
mess.
This song, On My Own, comes up. But it is now fitted the words to someone passing in a funeral. Can I tell you?
Because I thought it was in poor taste to play that song as a song.
As a song.
Right. Because I was like, oh, you're leaving. Because they just did this thing of father and son and all this. And then they were doing that. And I was like, that's kind of in poor taste to be like, you're on your own now. But they didn't use those words.
What beautiful words they put to that song, to the point that I looked at you and I'm like, this song is incredible.
But whomever penned the song On My Own has a legitimate claim against the Catholic Church, in my opinion.
Maybe it's a one-off.
The tone.
Everything.
The flow of it. And like,
it was beautiful.
I'd probably attend more church if they did that kids bop version that we just got. If they were doing different songs just with their own verbiage.
Now, do you remember the song? It's a great funeral song. And he will lift you up on angel's wings. My favorite funeral song. I was waiting for that.
That's the title of the episode. My favorite funeral
song. Because that's
the one
that makes you cry hysterical. Lift you up on eagle's wings, right? Well, not anymore.
Well,
because this one came through with that song. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great.
So touching, so beautiful.
I will say, beautiful. If we're being critical, Grandma's going to be very upset because she listens to the podcast all the time. I thought the lady was doing a fine job on her own.
No. I disagree with you.
And I think, whom I love, he's my uncle, right? But
so the priest joined.
When Father George joined in, he came in with that Jean Valjean energy.
But he's got that baritone. He's got that beautiful. Beautiful.
But I don't know if they rehearsed it ever. They were stepping on each other a little bit.
No, he felt it. He was in it. He had to do it.
You don't think he planned on singing?
No, I think it just came out.
Because I totally get it. If I had a mic, I'd be singing.
So basically, are you saying you have an issue with priest singing as a part of the job?
No. Just they should have spoken first.
He just sang one half a line of the song.
Yeah, but hold on, though.
But he just couldn't help himself.
His timing
was
a little
beautiful.
Different than hers, and she was doing a really good job. That's the thing. It's kind of like when someone sets up this amazing joke, and then someone towards the end kind of gives away the ending, and you're like, oh, you sort of trampled what they were doing.
I didn't get that. I enjoyed his baritone. I thought he was great.
I feel bad.
I would have liked to have heard. Here's my problem. I think it was. It was too short. He should have just went into the chorus with her. Maybe
he
didn't know the
words.
Started
the song with her, so I'm expecting him later. But he came in out of the chorus like, oh, he's involved.
And, but it was good.
But he does have a very deep,
amazing voice.
Yeah, their timing was a little off. But I thought they did a great job.
Beautiful sermon, by the way. He's a beautiful.
Now, is this a standard? Now Catholic song in the
I
in
don't
the
know. I so, don't know if she just did
just
that.
Custom
I don't know.
I don't know who – that's my question for the audience, I suppose, is who took whose song? Maybe Les Mis took an old church hymn and created On My Own.
Well, I think maybe what we're getting into here, which obviously with you know, any show Chris is on, I have a plan here and I guess I'm – you know, maybe I'll get to it. I think where we're getting at, and maybe the interesting question that I'd like to peruse, you know, for lack of a better term, do you think when they're placing priests in certain parishes and dioceses and all that other stuff, they, I assume, have something of a tryout, I guess, right?
Oh, no, this is a – the church is big business.
Yeah, I understand. So how much do you think then when you're picking the priests, okay – that the singing voice comes into play. Do you think like you could be let's say you're like a six in you know, in breaking down the word, you know what I'm saying, at mass, but a 10 in the voice.
Right.
Okay. Is that guy getting it over, let's say, if you're a 9 and a 4 in the
voice? I'm going to say this. He delivered quite the sermon. He's a beautiful orator.
Well, I was wondering that. I was saying you must be quite the orator to even want to get into – he made me think this. Right. To even want to get into this business, you have to not only be comfortable speaking in front of people.
The guy's got a radio
voice. You know, very deep.
And the inflection in his voice and the way – and then he could sing. Who knew George could sing? George could sing.
I'm not disputing that.
George could sing.
Not on record.
No, you just don't like the way he jumped in on her song because he was singing during the service.
She was on a roll.
She was in it.
he did.
She was in it.
She was doing good, and I wanted to see her stick the landing. And
right.
then and he kind of
okay.
But I will say I was very impressed with his just overall priest style. I've only seen him do weddings for the most part.
Right.
I think I've seen him do a funeral or two, but he does a lot of weddings. Christmas, no, he does the thing.
I see him in church plenty because he confirmed me.
He
I had a whole summer with him.
I so enjoyed him. I did. It was great.
So I'm having a kid.
You are.
Have you not talked about this on this yet?
Yeah, just not with you guys.
Oh.
So we're having a baby. We've talked about it. Everybody wanted a, you know, reaction from the families and stuff like that. It's out now, obviously, that it's a boy. We were talking about it. You know, just off the cuff, just, you know, any quick things you want to, you know, say to the community, whole thing. Yeah, they're looking at reaction. You guys good?
I'm excited to when I hear like, oh, Albie's crying, I want to be like, oh, how's the baby? I'm excited to make that joke as often as I can possibly.
Well, you bring up an interesting one because obviously we found that it's a boy. It's Albert the Fifth. It's a whole, you know, obviously for us, it's a big deal. We've talked about that for years on the show. The nickname now, what we're going to call him, it's kind of funny. I never had considered Albie, and for some reason right now it's like
it's Albie.
A front runner.
Because here's the thing. Daddy is Albert. Mm-hmm. You are Al.
Yes.
And the baby will be Albie. I don't like AJ.
I always thought that was going to be the move, and I don't know why. I just, for some reason, it's not sticking the landing
right
for me. And I don't know why.
I think it's Albie because, you know, you've outgrown Albie. You know, you're Albie to a select few now.
Well, the community, certainly.
To this community, certainly. And again, much appreciated. But we call you or refer to you as Al, right? And Daddy is Albert, and the baby should be Albie.
It you know, the first time I ever called him that was actually on the show.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, and yeah, for some reason, I don't know, because I'm thinking about something little, and Albie to me always like hit as like a little
mm-hmm.
person's name, you know what I mean, like a child's name. But yeah, that's something. And then you know what we've been getting bombarded lately. It's very strange because I'm so used to Marky, but you know, you guys sent me videos of a stroller and stuff, and my brain still goes like, what do I need that for? And then I realize why, and I'm like, oh.
Well, I am of the school. I'm not going to buy anything until I meet my grandson. And then I will, of course.
I don't I feel like personality kind of, you know.
I have to see his little face.
Personality kind of.
You know, obviously the crib and all that stuff. I'm sure your mother-in-law and I will have a time of our lives doing all that kind of stuff. But once I see his little face. But Dad and I were out yesterday with Marky. And we saw this fantastic. It wasn't a stroller. It was like almost like a wagon, if you will. And it looked like a Volkswagen Beetle. And it was phenomenal. And Daddy was like, look at this. And I'm like, we have to get that for the baby. But I'm going to wait until I see his little face, and then I'll get it.
You got to go from there. I agree. I don't dislike that approach at all, number one. Number two, you know, there's – I had a quite a time during Easter. I spent a solid 90 minutes – getting AI images of what he would look like from now until like 5 years old.
But that was amazing.
An hour and a half. And what's really, really crazy about it was, so I sent a picture of me and a picture of Chell, and it was spitting out these images, and I'll send them over to Amanda. We'll get them up on the, so you guys can see it. And I was like, all right, cool. Like you could kind of see what they were doing. Right.
Right.
But then I said, show it to me as a picture of a baby. And he had red hair.
Right.
That freaked me out.
Right.
Because that's like all.
But then what did I send to you immediately? A picture of you moments after you were born.
Yeah. Like looked exactly.
And it was the same baby.
Yeah, but look, baby to baby, like, you know, a lot of babies look
the
like,
little
look
reddish
the same, you know?
Hint to the hair.
Yeah, that piece is kind
of
wild.
I thought the AI did a fantastic job of, which was that it's their job, I would imagine, to marry you, both you and Chelsea. And I thought I saw in some of the pictures, I saw a lot of Chelsea, and then saw others, I saw a lot of you. But I could definitely see how the baby would look, you know, little cute button nose, big giant eyes. And, you know, we know it's going to be a beauty. You know, he's going to be handsome because he's got two beautiful parents and phenomenal grandparents, needless to say. Do we talk about that? Did you talk about Daddy's tattoo?
I mentioned, I don't recall if I mentioned it on the show, but he does have to get a tattoo.
Yes, he does.
I wouldn't mind that actually happening on the show. I think that'd be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Has he brought it up sans anybody around? Has he brought it up since?
No, but that's not.
I mean, I wouldn't consider, but like my point is, has he ever brought it up without me around kind of thing since I said it?
No, but that's typical daddy. You know, daddy's, you know, daddy's a very.
You think you're just going to go out and get one?
No, 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 no.
I don't think so either.
No. I think, first of all, I think he would want it to be a bonding thing that you would be with him or something like that. And then go have drinks or something like that. Maybe he'll do it when the baby's born. That'll be his, like, his nod to the baby. But Al is going because my husband is Albert III. Albie is Albert IV, and my grandson will be Albert V. So Albie said, well, I have a four on my arm, Dad. You forearm. You got to get the three, and the baby will get a five when he's 20. So,
yeah, like when they asked, that was going to be the move, you know. So it'll be pretty wild to see Daddy go through that. You know,
because the man with not a single tattoo on his body.
No, and he said he would never do that. Right. So this will be a fun little thing. And, there's a lot. I got a lot of folks also, too, on the from the last episode. This came in on the DM. Dear IBDM, conceived playing Fortnite with a laughing emoji. We're pretty sure our youngest fifth happened because of a puzzle in the dining room. Chris famously was conceived in the liquor room. So, you know, we get it. It's a running thing here. So somebody, you know, you're into puzzles, Ma.
I love puzzles.
So, you know, a little bit of a weird one to bring up, but here we are. We have a number of people that wrote in as somebody reached out to Chell looking to collab in her placenta. This came in also on the DM. Let Chelsea do the collaboration. Capsulizing your placenta.
Lauren did that.
Can prevent postpartum depression, reduce postpartum bleeding, improve mood, energy, and milk supply, and provide important micronutrients such as iron. There's no evidence that eating the placenta provides health benefits.
No, we don't need that.
So, well, here, so what do you do with it then?
Lauren took her placenta, and it's somewhere. I don't know where.
You know, just someone. You just say, you know, I've heard.
And it basically is, God forbid, there's a health issue with the child down the road, you have placenta stored somewhere. That's why Lauren did it. So Lauren does have that. Don't ask me where it is. I don't know what these new things that you kids do. But I kind of like that idea, you know, for stem cells and like they say and stuff like that. So sure. Eating the placenta and all that, well, no, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, for me, I'm obviously learning quite a bit at once here. So it's been just the type of thing where I that hadn't crossed my mind.
What size is he now? I know Chelsea likes, like, he's an avocado. He's this, is that. He's a raisin. How big is he?
Chelsea likes to bring that up. I believe right now he's an avocado or a potato, something like that.
Little potato man, cinnamon bun. What happened, I should tell the story of how I found out we did tell.
Yeah, you know, let's actually get into this because this is kind of fun. So I had, you know, I had visualized the concept or the moment of sharing that with you guys. And this obviously was not at all
how it happened,
how it went down for me. The moment we found out, the moment I said to myself, I didn't want to tell you guys. I wanted to wait a week. And I was like, I'm going to be horrible at that, number one. And number two, I didn't know if that was actually going to be upsetting, but I wanted to be around everybody.
Right.
And then it was just kind of like an overwhelming thing. And then at that point, to be honest, I think I only got to tell two people, and I think it was you and Dad, because by that point, everybody knew.
Well, yeah. Well, what happened was you were away on vacation with Chelsea and her family, and you FaceTimed me, and I was literally making homemade cinnamon buns, right? Mm-hmm. And you FaceTime me and you go, what are you doing? I said, I'm making homemade cinnamon buns. And you go to me, so you have buns in the oven? And I said, yes, I do. And Chelsea held up the stick and said, so do we. Mm-hmm. So now I refer to the baby as my little cinnamon bun because I was literally making cinnamon buns when I learned that you were pregnant, which is a fun memory to have.
That's why we call him Chippy. We heard at that point he was a chocolate chip.
A chocolate chip.
So, yeah, it was pretty wild, and it was crazy, too, because you had a huge reaction, and then everybody heard, you know, around you, you know, but we didn't necessarily know who was around. So, like, Joe Urbano and Chris were around you.
Right.
So, and then Dad, we had the same thing. But by then, pretty much everybody knew. Did anybody, after you had found out and all that, like were any funny calls come in?
I did not tell a soul.
Well, no. But anybody could, like, call you after maybe I told them or Dad did.
Well, Daddy, of course, you know, FaceTiming, he was emotional. And, you know,
a lot of people commenting at the gender reveal that he was crying. He looked like he was crying.
He was. You know, Daddy, the way he puts his head back. He doesn't to show emotion very much. But he was emotional when he called me in the – he came home and he gave me a giant hug. He goes, you know, we have our little five. We have our little five. I said, yes, we do. So, well, we didn't know it was a five. But when we found out it was a five, we he did that. So, yeah, I think it means a lot to him that it's a boy. You know, of course, if it was a girl, it wouldn't have mattered either. You know, we just wanted to be healthy, obviously. But no, I think everybody is kind of getting a kick out of seeing you in this mode, you know, daddy mode and stuff like that. And Chelsea,
you consider me in daddy mode?
Well, like, you know, the things you're worrying about now.
Oh, yeah.
The things you – Albie is a worrywart by nature.
Well, I was always, like, saying the world's going
out. Yeah, you know, he is a worrywart by nature. Now he's kicked it into overdrive, and I think it's sweet to see the way you worry about Chelsea and take care of Chelsea and thinking about the baby. Well, I got to hire bodyguards for this, and no, you don't. You know, so
well, I don't like. I say it all the time. Like, yeah. I don't even like Marky going to New York City anymore. Yeah,
yeah. So seeing you in this mode is fun. Chelsea looks absolutely magnificent. She's glowing. She's stunning. She's beautiful. You know, she's the most important facet in this right now, is that she's resting and, you know, doing well. So, and she is, thank you God. And I think your in-laws, I was very, very happy for your in-laws, especially your father-in-law, at the reveal, because we were saying to him that day, Anthony, we're all more excited to see you if it's a boy.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Chell about who's it a bigger deal for, that it's a boy, our side of the family or theirs. And as I was thinking about it, right, I think that the name thing is a huge deal for us, and it's cool and everything, but we've had boys in the family. They've had a full, you know, generation now raising three girls.
Right.
And he's like, anybody that knows him, he's like the mayor. You know what I mean? You know, avid everyday status golfer kind of thing. The baby's already gotten two or three vests.
Right. Because his father-in-law wears a vest every day.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. So we tease him. So the baby going to come out wearing a vest. And actually, I said to him at the reveal, I said, Anthony, how long before you order the mini golf cart for the baby? He goes, I'm on it. So, like, I'm very excited for him. And, of course, your mother-in-law, just anything would be great. And she it's nice to see them so excited and happy. Of course, we already had that moment with Marky and everything as being a first-time grandparent. But now having a little boy is very, very exciting, and having another baby, of course. But for them, I get a big kick out of watching them go through this process, you know, because it is very special.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm very excited for them with that. And it's funny because, like, obviously for me and all of us, not to downplay it for here because of Marky, but like the first grandchild, it's like how grandma talks about me. We talk about it on the show all the time. I always think it's like, it's just kind of how it goes. So I think for them, there's that, you know, which is great. And then the boy thing too, which is awesome, and obviously love them. So it's very exciting, and I was happy for that. But at the same time, I think Marky was actually a little sad. Like, I think Marky was really pulling for a girl. It was like one of the, you know, because she said it to me a couple times.
And
apparently she said said something to Lauren too, like, I hope it's a girl, and said it to Chelsea.
So, no, she'll be fine. She's a little nurturer. She'll be great. And,
yeah, she'll be a little, you know.
And she could still be the princess, so Daddy still gets to spoil her. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's fun all around. I do think Chell is trying to get me fat, because I will, like, have a good day or not be hungry at all. And she's like, I got you food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, see what's going on here. And we basically – I tried sleeping with a pregnancy pillow one time. I actually couldn't do it. I thought those things were going to be, like, made for me.
Mm-hmm.
But no. No, not so much. Not so much. But anyway, we haven't gotten to a question, so we're going to do this. So we're going to – well, we'll keep it on top. This comes in crazy birth story, NJ Mom. Dear Albie, first off, congratulations to you both. Love the pod. So excited for you guys. I'm a boy mom myself. His name is Nicholas, and he's now 3 years old. Photo attached for cuteness ref. I had a crazy birth story. It all started on Christmas Eve 2020. Yes, a COVID baby. I had scheduled my 38-week pregnancy check and an appointment for Christmas Eve so my husband could take me. We were having our baby at Valley Hospital in Ridgewood, just from a frame of reference, when we live in Sparta and Jay.
long trip, girl, from Sparta to Ridgewood.
That is really long, actually. Right? Yeah. Ridgewood's great, but yeah, I mean, that's far. My family was due to come over to our house for Christmas Eve dinner, so I had been cleaning and preparing the house all morning. Up to this point, I have had zero labor signs and symptoms, and everyone says with your first baby that you almost always go late, so I thought nothing was going to happen. Well, I was wrong. 38 weeks. How many
40.
Months 40.
40 is the gestation period, so okay. She's 2 weeks early.
All right. I got myself dressed and ready for hosting, hopped in the car with my husband to make the hour trek down to Ridgewood to my OB's office. Well, about halfway there on Route 23 in Riverdale, right behind 287 North on the ramp, I started to get period-like cramping. I figured, oh, okay, here are the first signs, but this could go on for a while. As we got close to the doctor's office, they became more consistent, but I didn't want to worry my husband, so I just shifted my seat and told him it was just gas or something. We got to the office, and I walked in by myself and sat down in the waiting room. I started to become very uncomfortable. I truly unable to do much when the cramps came. As a first-time mom, you don't really know what actual labor is or not. I finally sit down with my doctor, and she's asking me questions, and the cramp keeps coming in like waves, and I'm unable to speak through them. She said she wanted to check my cervix, so she did. She said to me, "Head to the hospital. You're having your baby today." I was in shock and started to cry because I had a house full of guests coming in over 2 hours, and on top of that, I didn't have any of my hospital bags with us. At this point, I was 3 centimeters and fully effaced.
You gotta get up on your lingo, kid.
Ooh. I was in full-blown labor. I gotta get up on the lingo, but I myself will not be effaced, right?
No, so, my son. The face is when the line is the lining where the baby comes out, thins out.
Got it.
Okay, so it thins out so the baby can.
I am myself.
That's the best way I could put it to you.
I asked her if we had plenty of time to drive back home and an hour back to the hospital. She said yes, absolutely. Well, let's just say she wasn't 100% right. Driving to our house and then back down to the hospital was a rough, rough ride. I was in a lot of discomfort, but I had no choice to remain calm and breathe through them. We had to get our bags ourselves because during COVID, once you were admitted, you could not leave the room. No one could bring them to us for fear of contamination. We pull into the overhang entrance of Valley Hospital 2.5 hours later, and I am beyond uncomfortable. I immediately felt wet. I said to my husband, either I just peed my pants or my water just broke. I wheeled up to the room and I got checked. I was 10 centimeters dilated and ready to push. No meds. I was so confused about what was going on, why this was happening to me. Our adorable son was born 1 hour after arriving. Long story short, just because you're a first-time mom doesn't mean you will go late. Also, always have your hospital bags in your car from 36 weeks on. Labor and delivery wasn't as scary as I thought it would be, and the contraction pains truly weren't as bad as I thought. Somehow women are made to handle this discomfort. Just breathe. Also, I am all about the epidural, just didn't have enough time to get it. Love you guys. Being parents are amazing. Caroline from NJ. Here's the boy.
Oh, he's handsome face.
Little mohawk.
Little man.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, it's funny because now the news of getting the baby and telling you guys kind of reminded me that life just goes how it goes, not how obviously you plan it.
Right.
Which made me think of new plans.
You make plans and God laughs.
So now I'm thinking of the actual labor, mm-hmm. right? And we don't live far from the hospital where we're going.
How far are you from that hospital? 20 minutes?
Less.
Less?
Maybe 15 on a bad day.
Okay.
Which is good.
Fine.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, baby's due in September. So I'm saying to myself, okay, well, I'm not really.
Marky was born in Valley Hospital, by the way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I got no issues with that. But you say to yourself, okay, like, you know, what's going to happen? How's this going to kind of play out and everything? And what do you do? Because in my head, I said, like, I don't know why. I felt like Lauren was in the hospital for like a week.
No. Well, here's the thing. A, I'm thrilled that the baby's coming after Labor Day because you don't need to deal with short traffic and trying to get to your hospital because you would be dealing with short traffic. Unless you know what I mean?
I mean, kind of, but.
Yeah, you got to worry about it.
Not really. I mean,
Lauren, was. I don't know if she was on time or a day or two late because she was bouncing on the ball and drinking castor oil and all that, trying to make the baby come. But she went into labor in the wee hours of the morning, if you recall. And she came to our house because she lives about a half hour from Valley Hospital. And we live around 10 minutes from Valley Hospital. So she said, once I go into labor, I'm going to come to your house this way. We could shoot right to the hospital.
Yeah, I remember. She was like bouncing on a ball.
Yeah. So she came to the house, you know, her and Vito. And as she was coming to from her house to our house, her water broke in the car. And then she came in the house and there was just water everywhere. And I said, go upstairs, take a shower because you're going to have time. This is like 1 o'clock in the morning, I want to say, maybe a little earlier. And then we wound up going to the hospital in the wee hours of the morning. And then she got there and she was in normal labor. And here's the thing. Maybe we're there 45 minutes and they're checking her and she's dilated and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden the nurse kicks everybody out of the room except for me because I was designated to stay with Lauren and Vito, right? And Marky turned and Marky breached herself.
Mm. Yeah.
And then she had an emergency C-section.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what's going to happen,
right?
You know, with kids. At first, you know, I was in labor 16 hours with you.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren was 40 minutes, and Chris was not even 10. And Chris was my biggest baby. He was 9'1", and he just shot out, like, no medication, nothing. So you never know. It's your body and how she's going to do. But it can be tedious and long and stuff like that, or she could just be,
But I can see my mother-in-law packing picnic baskets and stuff like that. Like, there won't be a regular bag. I feel like it's going to be a whole thing.
We never did bags. We had our kid.
But we're also close enough. I'm like, screw the bag. Get there. I will go and get the bag.
Thank you, because mothers, hey, moms, you don't need anything, okay? You don't need anything until you've had the child, all right, and you're resting comfortably. Then you want to change into a pajama that you like. Maybe you want to do your hair. Maybe you want your slippers to walk around. But before you have that baby, what do you need? You're in a hospital gown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think you're wearing anything, obviously.
You're not wearing anything.
Yeah.
So you don't need it unless you have some creams or incense or whatever, which is frowned upon anyway, you know? So I just don't understand the bag thing. Because everything you need, you will get the next day.
Well, I'm also told we only get like one night there.
Well, now they seem to just throw you out of the hospital.
Yeah,
so I feel like if she has the baby,
two nights, I don't know which one.
Lauren was, I think, 2 nights because she had a C-section. But
it depends on what time you show up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If she has the baby at 8 o'clock in the morning,
That's the thing. So if you go, let's say, I think that's what the confusion was. So let's call it like 2 midnights. If you get in there at 11 p.m.,
right, you got 2 nights.
And you have the baby 2 in the morning.
Right.
You're there for that night.
And the next night, probably.
So let's say, all right, cool. You go to the hospital 11 p.m. on Thursday. You have the baby at 6 p.m. on Friday.
Right.
Okay. You leave Saturday morning.
Thursday and have the baby 6 p.m.
I could be way off.
No, I don't even remember
where I heard that.
Let's say you get in there 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. And you have the baby naturally.
Yeah.
At 6 a.m. You got all day and the following day, and they probably the next day they let you out home at like 4 p.m. So it's like 30 hours.
I sleep there.
If you want. They are very accommodating to fathers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they don't throw me out.
No. You could stay there.
Okay.
I didn't have daddy stay with me. What before? What are you going to do? I don't need you to sleep with me. I want to be alone.
I don't know.
I need to rest.
I feel like Shell would want me to stay there. So I plan
things
it
are different
head,
now. Even now when they have skin to skin with fathers. We never did that. We never did skin to skin when we had the baby.
What is that for?
When the father takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Listen.
But what's it for?
So the baby knows and bonds with you. I feel like I imagine you are the type that talks to the baby.
Through my hand.
Okay.
I don't say it out loud.
No, you have to talk to the baby because the baby can now hear your voice and recognize voices, by the way. You should like talk to Chelsea's belly. Like, I do that. Talk to the baby. He knows who you are. He'll know your voice. They know. They know by, you know, it's just instinctive. They know. So, and, you know, the bonding with the mother, of course, you know, the first thing they do is they put the baby on your chest. So that's the bonding with the mother. But FYI, all three of my children, the very first person to hold all three of my children was your father. He held you before I did.
Because they just handed him over?
He was right there and he took the baby.
And were they?
I was busy.
Were you being assisted?
I was busy. I was busy pushing out placenta and all that. Okay. So, okay. The first person to hold each of you was Daddy. So there you have it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I just, call me stupid, call me old fashioned. I just don't get the skin to skin with the father with his shirt off. What are you doing? I don't know. Well,
we're
going
to get into it because what we're going to do, we've got the return of Dear Dombey. We're doing the solos. We've got the return of Dear Don shortly. We got a question for you. DearAlbumMailbag@gmail.com. Check out Mom's book. You'll be hearing from her shortly again.
Yeah.
Some more stuff.
Yeah.
But we love you guys.
Thank you.
We'll check in soon.